Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back. Welcome back to Fanboys and the Filthy Casual. Back at you once again. This is Dennis.
Lewis.
This is Harold.
We are so excited to be here today. It's been a great week. It's been a great couple of weeks. I've been pretty proud of our product lately.
Kudos to the setup. I mean, I think it's actually, paying off.
Did you say kudos to the setup?
Yes, good job, machines.
I was actually, praising us.
Oh, right.
I mean, I guess.
I guess content, we're okay. Content's all right, too.
I guess. So, before we begin, of course, my favorite is when Lewis does the, what do you call this again? Oh, the potpourri.
Yeah, we're going to sprinkle you with some potpourri in your ear.
All over your ear.
All over your ear holes. So, what you guys been up to this last few weeks, fellas? It's been a while since we recorded. Play anything new? Watch anything fun? Anything like that on radar?
For me, I've actually plunked down, literally. It started, it was kind of weird.
Coins fell out there.
I tried using my credit card, and it was like, no, we need actual cold hard cash. No, I plunked down my money for CBS All Access, and I watched the first season of Star Trek Discovery.
Okay,
and I thought it was pretty good. I rewatched it. I forgot how good it was. And second season has been really, really, really solid. And it's been irritating me that I don't have enough time in my life to watch it. Because at the same time, we have Star Trek Picard.
Picard.
Because we're trying to
Picard.
Picard. by the way, so three episodes into Star Trek Picard, I like it, but dude, this is the slowest progression. You know how we're so used to after the first episode, the introduction,
mm-hmm.
and then you're thrust into the adventure already. But the thrusting, Picard's thrusting has only happened in the third episode. And it's like, okay, now the show starts?
He's a little older. It takes him a little longer to get going. Let's give him some time.
And that's my favorite.
He's retired, right?
That's my favorite part because if you remember, I don't know if you guys were watching because I was excited about it.
You're our resident Trekkie.
So the teasers had scenes where Picard has a sword and he's fighting and everything. Dude, this is an old, frail Captain Picard. He can bear. There's one scene
it's
where
it's not a sword; it's a walking cane.
I think so. There's a scene where everybody's running, everybody's doing all these things, and the only thing Picard is kind of stumbling and breathing really, really hard.
No.
I'm like, oh my god, this is gonna be interesting. I'm enjoying it so far. This has been the most Trek filled couple of weeks in my life, so I'm pretty excited with CBS All Access. Unfortunately, there's nothing else on.
Oh, really? Okay, so that's their big get, right? If yeah. you want to, okay, that's their.
After those two things, I'm like, I'm gonna watch Hawaii Five-0.
Maybe not. is Picard dropping weekly or did,
yes?
Okay. So it's one of those.
So
okay.
Both Discovery and this one is dropping weekly.
Oh, okay.
How about you, H? What have you been doing aside from playing Call of Duty?
Like Lewis mentioned or asked earlier, how many gold guns do I have? I have three now. It's a sad
loot.
Progression.
Woot well, loot.
The first battle season is about to end. So unfortunately for me, I finished all the tiers about 3 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Which
now
there's nothing to do.
Having tiers.
Yes. But the thing I wanted to talk about, kind of I don't know, maybe for in depth for just a second, is they did the series finale for one of my favorite shows, The Good Place.
Oh yeah, yes, yes, yes. Tell us how you liked it.
I'm gonna try to do this non-spoiler because I think you guys should watch it as someone who I know I'm not saying that you're not a deep thinker.
I hate you.
But I'm saying
so
that I'm saying that Dennis is.
So between the two of us.
Your wife would love this the most. Because it's a big philosophy. It's a giant philosophy exam.
Gotcha.
For a whole show. It's surrounded with comedy and ridiculous bits. And it's the afterlife and existence in the afterlife. And so in the very finale, they have this thing where you have to decide if you want to keep continuing existence in the afterlife, like, you know, pretending that it's everyday living, or just finally saying, okay, I don't want to do this anymore either, and just let my celestial being become and, you know, basically disappear. And people have the challenge of discovering whether they want to exist regularly in the afterlife or to take that very last step. And it's a great finale in general, but it's a superb finale if you understand all of the in-jokes. And there's really, like, I myself didn't even understand the very end scene. I understood it, like, what I saw. But when other people were like, oh, that was a callback to this, and I was like, man, that is deep. I'm like, that is a show that really cares for super fans. And it's a little bit of a, there's a lot of good jokes, and there's a couple of moments where, you know, where tears are very possible. And I enjoyed the hell out of it. I've watched it 3 times since.
Wow, okay.
You know, just to get everything, just to see everything. Because it's one of those things where it's like, you might have missed it on the first run. So here's, you know, another chance. And yeah, it's just funny having the thing where it's like, my goal in life was to do this. I never got it, so I'm going to do it in the afterlife. And now that I've accomplished that, what is there left to do? Basically what I'm doing in Call of Duty.
That's actually a really fun little thought exercise.
Right?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like if you...
See, I can hang a...
Oh, just by the way, quick, flashy lights, Liz.
What?
But it's so well thought out. It's so thought provoking that it's not even a thing where you're thinking about it. You're just enjoying being entertained by a show itself. And then in the end, you're like, there's literally one part. And this is the saddest thing is, obviously, we had the episode a few weeks ago where we talked about the death of Kobe Bryant being a big thing.
Right.
Which, by the way, last recording that we, the three of us, plus a couple of our friends, actually went to the Staples Center to pay our respects at the Kobe Bryant Memorial. Thank you guys for, you know, indulging me in that idea. But there's literally a scene where one of the characters goes into this big soliloquy about life, death, and the afterlife, and it hits so hard because of the fact that, you know, all of us here have experienced death, and at the same time, seeing a character or a person that we very much revere passing away so recently, and then having, you know, to hear those words come out of that guy or that character, particularly in the after effects of what we just experienced, it hits so much harder. And if you guys ever get a chance to just, you know, you don't have to watch the whole thing, but there's really good chunks of the show that I think you guys will really love.
Awesome. How about you, Lou?
Oh, nothing as deep as that.
Because flashy lights.
Yeah, flashy lights. Actually, speaking of flashy lights, I downloaded because it was on sale, but I got Cuphead on my Switch.
Oh, jeez.
And it sounds... I don't like saying the word Cuphead because it almost sounds like really derogatory. Like it's something some.
Hey, you
it's something
Cuphead.
So, I know exactly. It sounds like something someone would yell across the building.
Like, that's their word.
I know. Get that Cuphead out of here! Like whoa, away! But
in this day and age, really
in Los Angeles,
use that word.
Come on, I know.
That's how
antiquated.
It is,
okay,
they can't even use it.
But super fun game, super frustrating. But I know we the joke has been made that I'm the super casual gamer here, but it is a little bit frustrating. It's a side scroller. It was like one of the best reviewed games of last year, I believe, or the year before that. Like I said, it was on sale because that's my keyword, like flashing lights, like ooh, sale, yes. Even if I'm not gonna play, it's like
yes, please,
yes, please. I can get like, you know, for the same equivalent, I can get like a combo at Panda. But I it was a really tough decision that day: eat dinner or get a new game. So I got a new game.
That's pretty damn well. I guess it depends on what kind of combo you're getting.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Single item, double item.
Double item. Did I get the premium meats?
I know. Did you get the walnut shrimp?
The walnut shrimp.
And did you get a soda? Yeah.
Are you going double shrimp? Because, man. Because,
like, we learned from you guys that the last time we went to go eat, what's it, double, Double gumbo?
Forget the salad. Please, no salad.
From what I learned from double these soup, guys. Double soup, double gumbo. No longer. You can get a soup and salad at Norm's. Just get double
shout
the
out to Norm's.
Shout out to Norm's.
Shout out to Norm's and their $10 coupon. Thanks.
Shout out to that guy who was clearly like trying to be high or something.
It was 2 in the morning, man.
It was 2 in the morning. He saw a group of four dudes
with Laker jerseys on.
Laker jerseys on. And he was like, you know what? I want to be these guys' friends.
Yeah.
And then, like I told these guys, the biggest mistake I made was he asked if any of us are into baseball. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, ah.
I don't think he even said yes. He just kind of nodded, he took it as a signal.
Like, no, I was trying to eat my soup. Yeah. You didn't have to make that sound.
Was that your word too? Or what?
Relax, cuphead. I'm sorry, bullhead. Bullhead. He had a bull.
Yeah, there's no more cups here. It's two cups.
At a certain point, all of us was a bullhead. So we're good with that. We're good with that. Lewis, the other thing I kind of want to ask you is Netflix came out with a show that we were kind of looking forward to. And that show, of course, is Lock and Key.
Yeah,
I know you said that you've had an opportunity to kind of watch a couple of episodes. What do you think so far? Non-spoilery, but sure, what do you think so far?
Non-spoilery.
Real quick, did you read the comic book?
Yes, okay. I do have the first few. I had the whole series, which I think it was written by Joe Hill, Stephen King's son. It was a really good read.
Wait, Joe Hill, Stephen King's son?
Yeah, I did
not know that.
Yeah, it was one of those things. I guess he changed his name just so that nobody was like, oh, he's Stephen King's son. So
now you know, listeners.
Really good read, really solid. It's one of those, thankfully, it has a definitive beginning and end. So nope. I was really looking forward to this. No, you don't think so?
No, because they just announced that they're going to release new episodes.
Oh, nice.
Or new issues.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I can see how that can happen. But talking about the series on Netflix, I have had a chance to watch the first three episodes. It's really interesting. It's a really well-made show. I think it is very much into the vein of what Netflix is trying to do. I know some of us have seen Stranger Things, and there's another comic book adaptation that they made called Umbrella Academy that was written by Gerard Way that they adapted to a show. My Chemical Romance lead singer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just nodded my head.
So I can keep talking to you about baseball?
Wait, are you drinking your soup? Or is that what you're doing?
Do you know Owen Wilson? Was it Owen Wilson, right?
Yes.
Yes, sorry. More stories for our Patreon.
quick question for you, Lou. Considering the material that Lock and Key has, do you think that they've been able to kind of capture the horror feeling of Lock and Key?
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say not quite. Not quite nailed it. Because I do, I was watching it with my eldest son, who's also a reader of the series, and he noticed, like, off the bat, some of the elements, which could have been creepier or even more gory or a little bit more graphic, was edited down. Because we did notice it is a TV-14.
Yeah.
So it's a TV-14 series. Mm-hmm. It's not a TV-MA. So it's not, there's very little, maybe one bad word every episode, a little bit of blood every so often. But yeah, it's funny when you compare it to the source material. It's like, there's some brutal moments in the comic books that we've already glossed over in the first few episodes. And it's like, oh, okay. It looks like violence from your Flash or your Arrow TV shows.
Considering what happened with the father.
Yes, actually, thank you very much. I didn't want to delve too much into it, but yes, the father in the comic book. I mean, that's what the comic book is about. What gets the action started is the father of this family passes away. And it's not spoiler. You turn on the show for like 5 minutes, or you open the comic book for the first few pages. That's literally
The second page.
Yes, exactly. It happens. So yeah, the way that it happens in the comic book in the adaptation is definitely not how they pull it off in the comic book. I think for better effect, because there is, there's
well, that was the thing. That's what kind of turned me off. It's like, okay.
There's no, I know, again, spoiler. He doesn't have a gaping head wound. It's like, oh. Even my son was disappointed. Like, you are dark, man. Why would you say that? It's like, oh, he just got shot in the abdomen. I was like, come on, dude. He's dead. You want like a big old like CGI hole in his head? Like, anyway, but good adaptation. Like I said, if you've seen any of like these preteen or not preteen or teenage horror shows on Netflix, it's more or less in the same vein. So I guess you know what you're getting into. It's kind of like, when CW debuts a new DC show, you're going to know what you're getting into already. So I think in this vein, after like what, they have Sabrina series, they have, like I said, three seasons of Stranger Things, Umbrella Academy, you're kind of going to, you kind of get a feel for what this, these kind of shows are going to be. So, yeah.
Okay. Anything else, H?
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, since Lewis experienced the place 2 days in a row, apparently.
Which one?
Can we get your review of Player One?
Oh, yeah, dude. For those people, well, we all went. So
for our audiences who might not know, for our audience who might not know what Player One is, somebody tell us real quick.
Lewis, okay. You've been there twice?
Yes, it's been good for me. So it is
news views,
for Player One. So Player One is one of the newest barcades in North Hollywood. Excuse me. I wanted to say NoHo, but I didn't want to sound like all pretentious. Like NoHo.
That's what they call it. The NoHo Arts District.
Okay. Well, I don't like it when they call it WeHo. It's like YouHo. Anyway, so
NoHo. That's literally like banners that say NoHo.
I thought it was like a suggestion. It's like NoHo.
I'm not allowed to go in there. I'm sorry.
That's why Harold has to stop.
Harold had to ask permission. May I?
Check ID.
Mother, may I?
It's please ho.
No, manners, Harold. Manners. So like I was saying,
that would explain why Harold's pinky was up the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time.
He was sipping his water with me. North Hollywood, newest barcade to open in North Hollywood, right there on Lancashire, where the hub of most everything happens. So it's been open, if I'm not mistaken, for about a year now. We had the chance to, that was a packed night, dude. So we, after celebrating the life of Kobe Bryant down at LA Live, we took the subway back home and we hung out at LA Live. And for once in Dennis and my lives, we closed out a bar. But it is a great little place with a fully stocked bar with all the kitschy beers, no wines. I think there's some cocktails, some gaming or nerdy related cocktails that we unfortunately didn't have a chance to. But in the back room, huge arcade, comparable in size to what a lot of the older arcades were when we were growing up. I would wander to say, good selection of games. Excuse me. They had like two rows of pinball machines, a lot of the classic. Games like NBA Jam and that sort of thing. They also had like maybe four or five emulators. So you had like one cabinet that had a couple hundred games in it.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fun too. I mean, something that, you can't dedicate a whole row of SNK movie games when you can just fit it all into one emulator. So really fun experience. I would love to say how much the beers cost, but thankfully your brother-in-law paid for the first one, and then my brother-in-law paid for the second night. So it was a great weekend for me because I did not open my wallet. That's double bonus, double bonus too for other cheesecakes.
Isn't that Lewis's life though?
Oh yeah, dude. He's like, you're a doctor, you pay for this. Your brother-in-law is a firefighter, pay for the whole round. Thank you.
He's a captain.
I know, my bad. Sorry, captain. A double bonus too for cheap cheapskates like me. There is no cover charge, so we were able to walk in, just show ID. It is 21 and over. We did find that out when we did some research a while back. Wanted to see, Dennis and I have kids. Harold has children that we don't know
separately.
About. It's 2020, Dennis. We could. It is strictly 21 and over, so no children are allowed. There is also, there's no food, but they did have the night that we went, there was no food truck, but the night that I went the day after, there was a food truck parked for most of the evening. Not to mention there is Dave's Red Hot Chicken walking distance from the spot, which apparently is pretty popping too. Cause we went the second night, there's a good line. A good little spot. So what did you guys think of our little night there?
I enjoyed it. My douchiness at all the barcades, because I've been to pretty much all of them.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, including Barcade in Highland Park, which is the most hipsterest place.
Is it really? Okay.
My review for this place is I just love standalone machines.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was difficult. Like when we were playing Mortal Kombat and it's on a 6-button controller, and I was telling Dennis, I have no idea where the block button is. Like, I don't know which button is a block. And I kept on trying to uppercut you, but I kept on blocking myself. And so, I mean, that's just me being griping for no particular reason. Also got to play Dance Dance Revolution.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. They have that machine there, too. Yeah.
What a great cardio thing. And, yeah. So, overall, I liked it. They did have, you know, retro shows being played on the screens there. So, that's kind of entertaining. Yeah. And I think, in general, it's a good space. It's a good arcade space to, like, hang out. And I was telling Lewis, like, or we were discussing, they have events there. Like Lewis was saying, trivia nights, and there's a karaoke night.
That's
so
right, yeah.
It
yeah.
might be like a place that at least, you know, we end up hanging out a couple of times.
Yeah.
Last thing for me is I actually had an opportunity today to go to a grand opening for Frankensons Collectibles City of Industry. The location itself is pretty solid. Mm-hmm. I think, I could be wrong, I think it's an old Toys R Us store.
That stings.
Well, I think because there's actually still a sign inside that says Toys R Us in it. So it was cool because you're walking around with toys and it says toys. So I think it's pretty close to the amount of stalls and everything. So it's a pretty damn big space. The one thing that a couple things I noticed is since it's the grand opening, the funk is not there yet.
Oh,
so it still smelled fresh. the other issue that we had, and I'm pretty sure you can agree with me, was parking for Frankensons. This was alleviated, I guess. Okay. But it's a yes and no thing because. It's now instead of just outside like factories and all those things, it's actually in a shopping center.
Oh, okay.
The problem is that the good thing is it's a huge shopping center, and lots of parking spaces. Unfortunately, it's a pretty busy shopping center.
Oh,
so it's you have people like. I parked, and I mean, I'm a slow walker, but it took me like close to 10 minutes to get from where I parked to, you know, it was like half a mile.
What the hell's going on steps today?
You know, that was the thing. There was all the one way, the one thing I told my wife is, okay, I'm just gonna bet that some of the fanboys, don't have cardio, so we're just gonna go for it. And the further you went, like, oh, there's spots out here. Well, closer to it, you have these fanboys like just circling like sharks.
I think you're saying they're using like the Rascal scooters. A quick question. Mm. Since it was the grand opening and I follow them on all their social media accounts, were there a lot of Raiders there today?
There
was a special guest, right?
Drew Brees was there. Drew Brees was their special guest.
Oh, wow.
Guest.
Okay.
Yeah. There were a lot of signings, and yes, there were some Raider players. I didn't know who they were because
sports.
It's like aisle 500. This is where the sports collectibles are. I'm going to turn around now.
I do the same. I know.
Because I remember, it's like on Instagram they were announcing, Bo Jackson is no longer going to the grand opening, and I was like, "That was my
Bo
big
Jackson
selling,
was dude, gonna be, was, oh wow, dude!
You know, I'd buy a bat just to see him break it over to me.
And here, sir,
here's sign this, and now break it with me. You and probably
then,
have
and then sign both.
I know he's like bionic knees now, dude. But
well,
sure.
He did have his hips replaced.
Yeah. So overall, I thought it was a great new location.
Is it near Jollibee?
No, it's not. It's near a bunch of like Asian, like Chinese.
Oh,
okay. Okay.
I had shabu shabu.
celebrate.
It was amazing. You know how in shabu shabu they give you like little like small like containers to like put in the condiments.
Oh yeah.
They actually had a condiment bar.
Ooh. Nice.
I just loaded. That's why I'm pretty sure you can smell my garlic breath right now.
I smell peanut butter. Oh, that's from the wine.
That's from the wine.
Okay, that's it for now. That's it for Potpourri. I think we've had enough, and I think we need to move on to our main topic today.
Our meat and potatoes.
You know, the main topic today. Ooh, is that Is that the name of our...
I don't know.
So it's potpourri to meat and potatoes?
Are they going to call it shabu shabu and rice?
I like shabu shabu, though. Actually,
today we're going to be talking about a... You know, it's been a while since we've actually focused on, like, an actual series, you know. We've been talking about random crap, especially with the 2010s episodes that we've been doing. And so... I don't know who he was, but I think somebody kind of mentioned we haven't really done Scrubs.
Yeah.
You know, Scrubs is one of those shows that at the time was popular, really popular for the fans. And at the same time, it's one of those things, divisive, at least it seemed like, divisive shows where it's either you liked it or you didn't like. Mm. It's kind of like the Big Bang Theory in some ways, because... You know, there were really devoted fans, and there were some who weren't. So I guess we start off with the question of, yes, Harold. Harold raised his hand politely.
Before we start.
His pinky was up, just so you know.
Actually, before we started, you saying that there hasn't been a lot of Scrubs-related material on the show?
I mean, for me?
So you're saying there's no Scrubs?
Boo. All of that just for the...
That's right.
I think you should start doing the Dr. Cox and like, go ahead, Sarah.
I think you need the wrong.
Look, Nancy.
Just call us whatever.
So let's start off with that. Were you a fan? Or, you know, basically, with that, were you a fan? And if you were, why or why not?
I would definitely consider myself a fan. Unfortunately, I would probably put myself in the side of casual fan. You know, the first few seasons, I loved the show. I loved the ridiculous shenanigans of intern JD and Turk. You know, but I'll be perfectly honest, I did kind of fall off towards, I think the third or fourth season. But I think it's kind of, unfortunately, it's part of what you were talking about, how like it couldn't really find a strong fan base, because I mean, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but they kind of jumped nights, correct?
Like, yes, one,
a they lot. Were Thursday nights sometime,
and then they even jumped networks.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. So it's one of those where I think, you know, there was enough fandom to keep the show going, but not enough to be like, you're going to be our Thursday night anchor or our Wednesday night anchor. And you know, unfortunately, I do know that it's weird, I guess, for our kids or for this next generation kind of think about that, like, well, why don't you just stream it? It was like, well, we didn't have that back then. So yeah, I'm definitely a casual fan, but I still love the show. I still love the banter between the friends and everything like that. So yeah, definitely, I would definitely consider myself a fan, but don't ask me what happened in season 6, 7, and 8. I know somebody got pregnant, and I think there are new interns.
The Todd
got pregnant?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Turns out it was not a banana hammock. I would consider myself a huge fanboy of the show. I remember I missed the first season or two, I think. I don't even know how I started, because there was no streaming back then.
Yeah.
But I eventually caught up, and once I caught up, you know, I became a huge fan of the show. You know, a lot, it turns out that a lot of the things that that I love that show has actually influenced the way I am. You know, one of the biggest characters, and we're going to go to characters later on, is Dr. Cox. And, you know, in a lot of ways, the way I teach is like a reflection of Dr. Cox. You know, but in a more PC...
We're going to keep saying that.
Yeah. unfortunately, I can't call my students, you know, like... names.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit, but go ahead.
I'll get in trouble. You're a reflection of Cox?
Yes. Thank you.
A Cox reflection. It's a Cox mirror, if anything.
You know what? I know exactly how I got into the show. Is I missed probably the first two seasons in general, because I was never home on the days that it would show, or I just wasn't into television back then.
You
were
at PCN practices?
I probably was. I'm not going to lie. Those things started when I was like, doing a lot of PCN.
Yeah, stuff. Early 2000s, right? Yeah.
And I was still in college, so, you know, trying to party hard like only nerds can. So, but when it moved to Comedy Central and they started showing all the reruns on Comedy Central, and literally blocks of hours of that show, and I was hooked. And I was like, and they would do it in sequential order. So,
yeah,
it wasn't jumping from episode to, like, you know, rent. Like,
yeah.
Like,
Simpsons does it all the time.
Like, Married with Children, when it's on syndication, they don't do like this was in, you know, maybe season one and then like season nine, something like that. This was literally like, hey, if you missed it the first round, in a few months it's going to come back all around again.
You just have to wait.
You just have to wait. And then you'd be able to catch up. And then from there, it was just, you know, consistently following the show. I would discuss it with Dan. And it was just, you know, falling in love with the characters and the sense of humor that it had. Because it was, like we talked about this before, is this is one of those shows with that perfect balance of humor and heart, where they have some of the funniest moments and the most memorable moments that you'll ever find. And then at the same time, those moments that absolutely will destroy you.
Yeah. And it's almost like it just all, it's like a complete 180, like within a, you know, a drop of a pin, whatever that,
that analogy goes.
Yeah, you know,
it's called a drop of a hat.
A drop of a hat.
Drop of a hat.
You have a few hats now.
Okay. Well, okay, fine. I can't respond to that actually.
Now you have a hat.
No, but you know, it really was where you'd have a joke. You know, somebody would be walking around with doing something ridiculous. All of a sudden, bam. Somebody's crying. It's like, oh crap, you know. That's the depth of that show, that I really did enjoy. So, Lewis, let me start with you. You know, you did say that you are a casual fan of the show, but what about the show? You know, aside from it being funny, you know, what about it really got you into at least those first couple of years?
What really got me? I mean, I already mentioned, but the banter between the main characters. JD and Turk is just golden. Like almost every episode, at least for the first few seasons, they had some kind of ridiculous phrase or something fun that, fast forward a few years, your brother and I would like be emulating while we're playing tennis. We'd do like eagle in the middle of a round and just
eagle.
Exactly. I hate it. I'm just like, it's so easily triggering. But and then, you know, the demeanor between them, and kind of going back to one of the favorite shows that we brought up during the decade, Happy Endings. But the relationship between Carla and Turk, I thought it was really nice, because, like, I mean, again, it's like a trope for these shows back then, or for shows in general, that whenever there's a married couple, there's going to be some kind of weird drama of, like, is he cheating or is he not cheating? You're looking like in the future seasons, they're going to do it. Okay, see, this is why I'm not going to watch it.
Oh, my God. I just realized Lewis and his wife is Carla and Turk.
Yeah, shut up.
I'm saying because Carla's slightly older than Turk.
And a nurse.
As a nurse.
And a nurse.
And Turk is immature and likes hanging out with his friend.
But don't put me next to a scalpel, dude.
And he has a weird mole.
I can't really. Hey, man.
Lewis doesn't, but I'm just saying.
I shared that to you in privacy.
You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it
now. Oh, okay.
Is that why you guys have kids together?
Yeah. We call it Little Lewis, dude.
His tickle button.
Stupid, dude. But so yeah, the banter is great. I thank you for bringing up my wife. But I think one of the funniest part is, like, so. Personally speaking, I actually before I got my job now, I was actually working at a home health agency. I wasn't working at a hospital per se, but I was working with a lot of nurses, a lot of caregivers, a lot of doctors, a lot of that kind of stuff. What in retrospect, what made Scrubs so effective for me is how they kind of really humanize a lot of these doctors, a lot of these medical professions. One of the things that I learned from working there was the fact that what I noticed personally, and I had to bring it up with my wife when we were still dating back then, was like, why are these nurses so cold? Like, they're talking about some of these patients. Like, I mean, I'm looking at these patients, you know, I'm not going to break hip. I'm not going to say what happened. But, like, a lot of these patients were in really rough positions. But these nurses were kind of just like, oh, that person's FUBAR, which is a bad term for, like, it's not going to work out well. And I had to ask her, like, why are you guys so dismissive? This person is, you know, dying or whatever. And, you know, my wife, in the sweetest way she can say, is like, if we let these things get to us every day, we would not do our jobs. So when I heard that and I watched Scrubs and how, like, I wonder, again, casual fan, so I'd love to know what the writers and the producers of the show's backgrounds are, because it's true, like, how Dr. Cox would react to a lot of these things, or how a lot of the staff would react to, like, my friend is dying, and we'll jump to the Ben episodes later when we talk about our future favorite episodes, but the way that these doctors and these nurses react around these patients. And yes, you know, a lot of the jokes are about levity and how we're in a hospital or it's a comedy, but you know, it's almost part of, you know, it's part of being in that field. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why I really liked it. And like I said, I was only there working with my wife and those folks for like maybe 2 years, a little bit, but it's stuck around. So, you know, I love how Scrubs took it seriously, but it was obviously still a comedy.
For me, the one thing is really the heart.
Yeah.
You know, like, JD in a lot of ways was a reflection in some parts of who I was, you know, lost, wasn't really sure what he was doing, you know, trying to find that maturity in order for him to be, you know, to be somebody that was worth having, you know, Elliot, worth being a doctor and all those things. In a lot of ways, I think that's what connected me in my, the 2000s and early the 2010s, you know, while that show was going, you know, a lot of the characters really, you know, evoked a lot of emotions for me. But at the same time, you know, aside from the heart, it really is the goofiness of the show. You know, like just certain, you know, just certain jokes that just kept on, you know, coming up over and over. Like one of my favorite things to say every so often, and nobody in my school watched the show, I think, none of my coworkers. But every so often, I just look at, ooh, Hooch is crazy. and oh, my friends are like, huh? Like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Hooch is crazy. Hooch. How about you, H?
I'm trying to... So I remember specifically one of my buddies was like, have you ever seen this clip from the show called Scrubs? And I was like, no, not really. And he showed me, so I mean, I think I maybe even further got into it later than I thought, is he showed me the clip of Turk doing the dance to Poison.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, if anything ever encapsulated who you were, this is it. And I'd watched the show before, but I like seeing that was like, okay, I need to get back into this. Because like, this is, you know, this is kind of who I am. And I just... Obviously, coming from a Filipino family, there's a lot of people who work in hospitals in my family.
Turns out
50% of my immediate family are nurses.
You really do it exactly.
Turns out in my secondary family, I think there's just like four more. And there's only like 10 of us. So 40% of my family, nurses. It was one of those things where you can't, You obviously, since we don't work in the medical field, we don't really, or, you know, besides Lewis.
For a cup of tea, cup dude. Of thing,
yeah. We don't experience exactly what's going on in hospitals. And obviously, it's not going to be comedy. I didn't even think that it's possible to do a comedy. You know, because from all the horror stories I hear, horror. The stories that my sister would tell me, it's like, there's no way they can make this kind of, like, kind of funny. And then... It's kind of that way, though, too. It's like you see the comedy. You see the moments where there's comedy. But at the same time, you do understand that there's more to everybody there than just the medical field. So it's, like, great that the story... Like, it's great that it came on the same network that ER was on. So it's like, oh, hey, we have right. ER, which is, you know...
Super serious medical drama.
There's hardly anything fun about that. And then we have the show... that has the lighter side of it. And the thing that always got to me, and it didn't, and someone pointed it out to me, was like, have you seen how many minorities are on Scrubs?
That's a good point. That's a great point, yeah.
Just the main characters, there's at least two of them already. Yeah. But at the same time, the background characters, when they have nurses, a lot of them are Filipino. And then it's just like...
Are you telling me Nurse Roberts is Filipino?
Yeah.
Roberts. Isn't that... That's her married name.
Josefina Roberts.
Previously Nut Roberts. But I mean, from there, it's like you take situations that you would never find comedy in. Like, you know, cancer and death. And it's just like, here's, if you're coping with this or if you're dealing with this, here's just something a little bit... to keep you on the lighter side of things.
The other thing I really loved about that show is just the character growth. And I think, Lewis, you know, at a certain point, I think you really did, I would suggest jumping back on it, just because there really is, you know, from who Turk and JD was in the first couple of seasons,
yeah,
to the last couple of seasons, to the final, not the one where they become interns, but or they become teachers to interns, but like the actual finale, just the character growth, the characterization of it was one of those things where have we ever done like the best finales?
Yeah. We did. Yeah, we did.
And then I'm remiss then, because I think Scrubs is for me the best finale, because at the end you're able to say goodbye to all these characters and you realize just how much they've grown and you kind of grown with them. You know, I think that's one of the greatest things, at least for me, that I love that show.
And then we just ignored the last season.
Oh yeah, I actually still liked it, to be honest with you.
I enjoyed that, but as the series as a whole, that's a new show.
Yeah, that's as long as you can kind of see it that way, completely different show. Yeah. And I think that's what kind of failed, because they had. I actually like the new interns,
Dave Franco.
Did I tell you I'm a huge Dave Franco fan for some reason? I'm a Francophile. Sorry.
How long have you been holding on to that one?
No, that just came up right now.
My glasses almost fell off from there.
No, but I actually quite enjoyed, but I think that was the biggest problem, is that I don't know of TV or Hollywood or anything like that, but I think at a certain point, ratings were failing. They were like, okay, let's bring back Turk. Let's bring back more JD, more Dr. Cox, and all those things. And I think I wish they kind of like stayed away and let those people, and so that they can have their own Scrubs episode, because I actually quite enjoyed it.
But one of the new people was Eliza Coop from Happy Endings.
There you go. I did.
That's where I remember, like, when she came on Happy Endings. Damn it. When she appeared
extra
on Happy Endings. I was like, oh, that's the other doctor from... The last two seasons of Scrubs.
She was the mean one. I think I remember seeing her.
Yeah. And then on Happy Ending, still the mean one.
Yeah. So I mean, she has married. That face, though. She has that face.
Yeah, she does have an RB, RBF.
RBF.
Rebuff.
Yeah. Rebuff.
She has roast beef face.
Yikes. Ew. Yeah. That's even worse now.
That's even more extra.
the question is, how does her face smell?
Yo. Wait, now I'm curious, though. Like, oh, man, I don't know if I want you to spoil it for me, but, you know, JD and, oh, shoot, what's her name?
Elliot's
characters were, like, one of those, you know, it's a trope, but, like, will they, won't they kind of things. And I know that one of the big, I don't know if it was when the ratings were taking a bit of a dive, that they had, like, a gimmicky episode, like, JD, is it going to be a father? I'm like, oh, Elliot's pregnant? I was like, nope. It's this other new person.
It's Elizabeth Banks.
Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
She was so cute at that.
Hold on.
Go for
it. We're going to talk real quick. Her and the hottest person I've ever seen on a TV show was when Heather Graham was on Scrubs.
That's right. She was the.
She was Molly.
Yeah. Yes.
Elliot's mentor. She walked in and I was like,
I didn't know doctors could wear skirts. I'm like, yes, this is great.
Yeah.
You go, Elliot.
You go, Dr. Molly.
I was rewatching the series for this episode, and I forgot that literally in the first episode, like, Elliot takes off her shirt.
Elliot. I mean, it's one of those, and I think it's the times during that time. I don't think it would fly anymore. Well, but
probably not.
You know, there were a lot of times where Elliot was in compromising, you know, situations. You know. But the other thing, though, is that although they did have that, there was a lot of really strong women characters in that show.
Carla,
Nurse Roberts, you know, all those characters were really, really strong. And Harold kind of pointed out it's minority. We're not just thinking, you know, Puerto Rican and you know, African American, but we're also talking about women being front and center in that show.
Yeah, Jordan was like a show that coming from one of Dennis's favorite other shows,
Drew Carey Show,
and being the wife of
John C. McGinley,
Bill Lawrence, the creator of Scrubs,
Well, like, in the show.
That's how she got the job.
Yeah, that's how she got the job. In general, that's how she got the job in Cougar Town, too, is because that's her husband. But it's like, I was watching, like I was saying, rewatching some of the stuff, and her very first introduction episode, they have actual footage of her wedding as like a flashback for Dr. Cox. But it's not really Dr. Cox marrying, obviously. But it's like showing when she was like super young, getting married and stuff. It's like, whoa, dude. And that's like the kind of detail that you don't really get in the first season of a show. Yeah. Dude, that's... And then having like never... Like one of the biggest running jokes for the whole series is the fact that they believe that Elliot is weak.
Yeah, right.
It's like it's been you know, established from season one going all the way to her very last season. It's like, or not very last season, but for most of the scene things, it's like she's a great girl, she's a good doctor, but she's vulnerable because she's a woman. And then it's like she turns it on their head so many times. And it's like you always like the one, there's that one. For me, one of the most memorable scenes is when she gets pretty much like dumped on and everything's going bad for her and she decides to cut her own hair. And they play American Girl by Tom Petty. So it's like a whole, you know, montage of her cutting her hair, becoming free. And then she walks back into the hospital with like brand new clothes, like over her scrubs. And like, she asserts herself and then she just walks out. And it's like that's like so proud of Elliot and, you know, actor Sarah Chalky at that moment, so yeah.
Rick and Morty fame,
yeah.
I know, I'm digging that. I know, so I'm glad that they got some like post Scrubs fame. Not to mention, like I'm glad, like not glad, but it's funny that they cast Donald Faison, and like I'm trying to remember who turned me on to this, or if I've just like
Petey Jones.
And before I say
that's how you remember him, not Murray.
No,
because he's always gonna be Murray first.
No, sorry, Petey Jones. Petey Jones.
So like, you know, this guy came from Clueless. He was like the fourth, fifth most important character on a, you know, pretty popular '90s movie, and then he, like he's in a really good show like this. Like you were talking about, like I love the cast and how they just kind of played off. And this is kind of like chemistry, I guess, that you don't see a lot. I think I really am going to have to start listening to your recommendations here, because I'm thinking, like, there's a lot of new shows now, like, yeah, Good Place, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that I think has pretty solid chemistry comparable to these kind of casts. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, for the most part, yes, the story of Scrubs does focus around the main four characters, but it is a huge ensemble cast. You know, I love... You already made the joke about the Todd. Again, like I was only at this home health place for like 2 years, a cup of coffee in the scheme of things for a lot of people's careers. But it's funny how like there was a Todd in their office. It was a PT who I'm going to just call him Diego, but you have to like call him Diego because he was like 6 feet tall and he would walk in there with like, not, he wasn't cut off scrubs, but the scrubs like went right through his biceps. And it was like, oh, that there is a basis to that, to the Todd. It was like, wow, these people really exist. So, like, who are your favorite, like, side... So, besides our main four, and I know, obviously, Dan started talking about Nurse Roberts, but, like, who are some of your favorite, like, side characters? Because I think it was so rich in, like, those little, like, character moments and this and stuff.
So, aside from the Todd...
Aside from the Todd and...
I think Ted is my other favorite, just because, man, like... Talk about character growth from the, being the step stool,
yeah,
for Dr. Kelso. In the end, still the step stool for Dr. Kelso, but incrementally better.
Yeah, but he was his like back was straightening up slowly but surely.
And I think my aside from Ted, Dr. Kelso is also my favorite. You know, you have Dr. Cox, who was always a great character, but. A lot of really great episodes had Dr. Kelso. You know, one of the episodes, and I think we'll talk more about specific episodes later on, is, you know, where we always see Dr. Kelso as this mean, heartless person.
Yeah.
But kind of like what you were talking about, Lou, where in that episode, it turns out that the reason why Dr. Kelso acts the way he does is because if he doesn't act that way, then the hospital is going to fail. Then
his
soul is going to get crushed. And so he has to put up that persona, and he's doing it for everybody else. But, you know, in the end, he realizes that, you know what, this is what needs to be done, and I'm doing this for everybody. And nobody except for in the end, near the end, that's when people kind of start appreciating what he was doing.
Yeah.
I really loved the character of Doug.
the greatest doctor ever.
Doctor of all time. Because, like, you can tell from the beginning, it's like, there's this guy that's always in the background, but they only bring him up a couple of times. But every time he comes out, it's like gold. Like, how do you have a doctor that's afraid of everything? And it's like, oh, man, so good.
But eventually he finds a place in the hospital that's perfect
that for nobody him. Bothers him, man. So he's just like, he's comfortable. And then the thing that makes me, I was just reading the characters that made me laugh. One of my favorites is Keith. Keith, the intern that Elliot falls in love with right before she gets with JD.
Oh, the hot one.
Yeah. Do you know why I love him?
Why?
Because his name is Dude Meister. Oh. And then they ask him, what does your last name mean? He goes, the master of dudes. See, that's the kind of jokes. It's going to get me. And Franklin. I love Franklin.
Which one's Franklin?
Franklin is...
Trying to remember Franklin. Hold on. Franklin. Which one was Franklin?
He was on another TV show that you guys used to love, but only lasted one good season, and then the rest were crappy after that, apparently.
I'm lost.
He's a minority as well.
Which one was Franklin? Hold on.
I know. I'm looking through the cast. Like, I don't remember Franklin.
Okay, hold on.
I don't remember his real name. Masi...
No, but was
it... Masi, was this character? From Heroes.
Yeah.
It's Hiro Nakamura from Heroes. Oh, that's right. He was the not the hematologist. Yeah. He was the he was the lab scientist.
So
he was our friend Cherry. But
he's the one that Elliot kept on like flirting with to be able to
get the lab results, or she would cry,
or she would cry and do something like that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That's right, Masi Osa. Yeah,
Masi also, like, since Dennis really quickly talked about it, loved the character of Ted, but loved him way more when he was on The Worthless Peons.
The what?
Every time those guys showed up on screen, his
acapella. Oh, the acapella group. They had a name? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially when he calls for everybody to assemble.
Yeah.
it's like the one... from Anchorman, where somebody goes, and they're like, they all of a sudden appear.
Beyond assemble. And like I remember their gimmick was they only do TV songs.
Oh, is that it?
It's like when they do the Six Million Dollar Man.
I must have missed that one,
dude.
And yeah, and during the whole Ben episode, they were singing Underdog the whole time. So that makes more sense now. Like, of all the songs to sing, like, why are you gonna sing Underdog? But okay, thank you, Harold. Hey, I'm going to have to watch the rest of the show again.
Another character I really loved is the janitor.
The janitor.
No, it's Jan Etor.
That's still my favorite. Jan Etor.
Is it really?
Yeah. They gave his real name in like the very last episode.
No, well,
supposedly,
but then he turns around and somebody calls him a different
name. It's supposed to be like Matthew something, because he had the joke like he called Matthew.
But then if you think about it, like I don't know if you remember, you ever saw that episode. It's where in the show JD discovers that the janitor was in The Fugitive.
The Fugitive.
No. So, like...
Freeze, Kimball!
Yeah, Neil Flynn is in... And he sees it, and they go... Like, JD's trying to go, this is you! This is you! And at the very end, by doing the, Freeze, Kimball thing, like, he acknowledges, oh, yeah, that was me. So that means his real name in the show is Neil Flynn.
I love that thing, just because it's the whole... He acknowledges that he had a past before becoming a janitor at a hospital in the valley.
The other thing I loved about the janitor is the different thing because of all his lies that he does, and he talks about how his mom like lost fingers, and so JD like threw away these short scrubs, but were short shorts, and the janitor was like, but my mother sewed those together, and so JD was forced to wear these like Daisy Duke scrubs. And it's just that Like, I don't know if it was intentional, because it seemed like at least the first episode, it seemed like the janitor was a throwaway character.
Yeah.
But then it developed into something where if the janitor was in there, you know, that whole show would have actually never worked.
Yeah, because you've heard that whole thing where he was originally supposed to be a character that only JD can see.
Yeah.
I read about that somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. That was a creator's idea, or was that like, okay.
And then it was literally like, this guy is so good that he has to be for everybody. And so that's when they started having him interact with everybody. So.
We just talked about characters and everything. How about specific episodes, since we're kind of wrapping up in the episode? What were some specific episodes that for you were memorable? I know Lewis already kind of mentioned one, but I'll start it off. One of my favorite episodes was a Dr. Cox centric episode, and I don't know if you were the, I don't know if you saw this one, but it's where Dr. Cox loses three.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, God. Heartbreaking. Yeah.
Loses three patients.
Yeah.
And he realized that it's something that he could have avoided. And there was that break. Dr. Cox has a breakdown and, you know, becomes a drunk and everything. And it could have been something really cheesy. You know, that two episodes that happened could have been cheesy. But instead of going for the cheese, they actually went for something that was really personal, where JD realizes that, you know, his hero is flawed. That you know, that in order for him to be able to move forward, he needs to be able to accept that this person that he had looked up to all his life is flawed, and he gets to, in a way, save Dr. Cox. But what was cool about that episode is that, you know, it aside from an acknowledgement of thank you, like, that didn't really completely change the relationship.
Yeah.
And that relationship between the two of them is still something that I truly love, that JD craved for that father figure, which kind of goes to my other favorite episode. It's where JD's brother and Dr. Cox... what's his name? JD's father passes away,
and
John Ritter, or the character, passes away, and JD, you know, has spent all this time. He's emotionally wrecked. He's emotionally compromised, and the two people that he could actually depend on, his brother, all of a sudden is also a wreck.
Yeah, it's a mess. Yeah,
and the father figure that he can go to is emotionally unattached, you know, or detached. And so all of a sudden, in one of the sweetest moments, it's Dr. Cox saying, you know, here you go, shut up, you know, and just talk, and accepts it to be there. And his brother is also there, and, you know, puts aside all his problems just for JD. And I think those two were one of the most more powerful episodes for me.
Yeah, that was that the one where Dr. Cox loses the three patients. That was a tough one, because I still remember, I think there was, like, not a countdown, but, like, you were actually rooting for him. Like, even from, you know, from a comedy trope, it's like, he can't, like, all three patients can't die. He has to have a win, and then it'll be like, oh, it's okay. It's like, and all three of them died, and then they go, was it? So I'm trying to remember if it was in the locker room, or if it was in the break room, or in the cafeteria, where it, like, goes dark, and it's just him, and he's just, I don't know if he was bawling or she's like mad. It was so well made. I am honestly surprised, not to jump around, but, like, what's the actor's name for
John C. McGinley?
Did he ever win an Emmy for any?
For that one, no.
That is ridiculous, because that dude was so good in his role. And, like, I can't imagine a better run of just, like, how well he does it. And, you know, medical dramas or comedies can't be easy, because you got to rattle off all these, like, medical terms and all these medicines and all that jazz. And this guy was, like, you know, he was great in that role. And then, yeah, you're right, like, he was being a father figure. Excuse me. And, like I said, that should have been his, like, you know, his Emmy work right there. It's just, like, bawling his heart out after being, like, such a hard ass. I'm sorry. You know, tough on all of his interns.
I'm pretty sure you could say the word ass.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Sorry. Thank you, iTunes. So for me, it's going to be low hanging fruit for me, because, like, again, casual. But love yet hate the Ben series. I'm just going to call it that. It's the series of episodes. I think there's only three or four episodes where we meet Ben, who is Jordan's brother, but he is Dr. Cox's. I know it's weird how all these episodes revolve around Dr. Cox so far. But he, I guess when Jordan and he were married, like they were best of friends. And it is one of those painful, wonderfully well-made episodes. We have, cheat a little bit. Ben is played by, help me out here.
Brandon Fraser.
Really? I was thinking Mummy. I'm like, the guy from the Mummy.
He said, help me.
Help me. It wonderfully played by Brandon Fraser, who like gives, you know, it, spoiling the show or that series, but you know, like I mentioned, Dr. Cox acts uncharacteristically fun and like cool around this guy, and JD is just like, oh, I want to know this guy, I want to be this guy, I want to be how like Dr. Cox is around this guy. And then, you know, at the end of the first episode, we find out that unfortunately he has leukemia, and it is one of those great character studies because, like I mentioned, you know, when I premised what I liked about the show is like medical professionals, doctors, nurses, and all that good stuff, as much as they put up the front that, yes, you know, they are infallible and yes, they should know everything that they need to know. You know, when Dr. Cox is faced with the realization that his best friend, one of the few people that he can confide in and has fun with, is dying, for lack of a word. So it's a really tough, like, look for everybody. Not to mention one of those, like, there's a five-minute segment there where JD is supposed to report back to Dr. Cox with the results of his blood work, his blood test, to find out if he was sick or what it is that he had. JD in 5 minutes comes through this whole like whirlwind roller coaster of emotions of like, are you denying what the results are? Or are you trying to find something wrong with it? Cause the whole time he's saying like, he sees the results. It says he has leukemia, but he doesn't want to take this news to Ben and to Dr. Cox. But you know, he comes to that realization. It's a wonderfully made, like almost comedic, like flashback to the back of his head. And he just says it, you know, Ben, you have leukemia. And it's a tough pill for them to swallow. And then fast forward to one of the roughest, toughest character ending. I think it was a season later.
By the way, do you remember what Ben's line after that was?
No, remind me. I'm sorry.
That sucks.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's right. Because you know, it, like for a show with so much music, and it's like a fun poppy music. They're always playing something like whatever was the cool thing at the time. But yeah, it was dead silent. Like that sucks. You're right. Brandon Fraser's like deadpan delivery, which is like, oh man, if I get bad news like that, I wish I could like be that cool. But and then you know, fast forward to one of the toughest character ends a season later when. You know, Ben dies. Ben unfortunately passes away from, I think it was a stroke or something like that, related to his illness. And like half of the episode was Dr. Cox in denial. And one of the toughest lines, I mean, there's only a small handful of lines that I can still remember, unlike you guys who can rattle off great lines. But, you know, who was it? I can't even remember who said it, but somebody said, you know, Dr. Cox, where do you think we are?
Oh, JD does.
Okay, thank you. So it was JD who said, yeah. Where do you think we are? And then, boom, it pulls Dr. Cox and the audience into like, you're at the funeral. It's like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, they do like a Sixth Sense type thing where
the whole
time Brandon Fraser is actually there.
Yeah, but he was dead the whole time. You're right there.
He was dead the whole time.
He was dead the whole time. You were imagining it. Yeah, it's like, where do you think you are? It's like, oh my gosh, it was heartbreaking. That
wrecks me every time.
Yeah, dude. So like in preparation for this episode, I just watched those first two, and then I started that one where he dies. I'm like, I can't do it. I can't. I'm gonna play some Cuphead now. I need to get away from this place. This is rough. But yeah, so that's one of my favorite episodes, plural.
I'm gonna go with the other obvious one of my favorites, My Musical.
Of course, you would go that one. Yes,
the
yeah.
best. I'm thinking better than the Buffy episode.
Way better than the Buffy. Way better.
Don't
better
let, than don't the let Buffy. Your wife hear that one.
No, nope. she will agree with that.
She will agree with that.
Okay.
Like it's except for the Carla and Turk song, which I think is still pretty catchy. Everything else was pretty solid,
dude. And like, obviously, Guy Love is like. The jam. But
there's no other word to call it.
The whole episode in general. The funny thing is, I remember someone going to me and saying, "Oh, that's like medically correct," and I was like, excuse me? And they're like, yeah, that's an actual medical condition where people's voices no longer are regular, but they hear them in sing-song melodical tones. And I'm like, oh, God, can that happen to me? And I'm like, well, that's like a, and then they were like, no, it's like a stroke. And I was like, yeah, okay.
You have a huge brain tumor at that point.
Maybe it doesn't happen to me. I'm fine with it. And, but that episode in general, where making that part of the reason why, like, you know how, like the Buffy thing is, it's great because it's, and the, also the Flash thing is great because they have
Flash in it too, right?
Reasons why the episodes are like musical. And then this one is fantastic.
Yeah.
And the songs are so catchy and everything about it is still Scrubs. But like that, you know, that, the whole Sacred Heart opening song, man, it like, that is how every opening PCN song should be because
that's a good idea.
It's
yeah.
so catchy. It's perfectly encapsulates what the whole episode is going to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, in like a 2-minute song. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great idea. I think you're right. Every PCN coordinator from this point on or any producer or a musical, whatever, has got to see that episode. Yeah. That's a good point.
And then my, okay.
Go ahead.
No.
My other favorite song is Everything Comes Down to Poop.
Yeah. Everything is down to poop.
Like you were able to do a song about how the importance of checking your bowel movements.
Yeah, the intestinal movement.
And I remember when I had surgery, that was the very first thing they told me. And I was like, I know this.
How do you know this?
Scrubs.
JD taught me this. Thank you. Thank you, Scrubs.
And go ahead.
It's always, you know me, it comes down to comedies and music is why I always appreciate things. And one of my favorite things is the Wizard of Oz episode. Because the janitor sprays JD's shoes red, and all of a sudden, JD has become Dorothy. And everybody around.
Remember what he was listening to at the beginning?
He's listening to, oh my God. He's listening to Africa, right?
Yeah.
Toto.
By Toto.
Yeah.
Oh. Clever, dude. Right? That's pretty freaking clever. I hate it.
It's like,
wow.
It's so good. And then obviously the very end of the episode, they play Iz's version of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. But the whole thing in between where my favorite story is always going to be Turk's story.
Mm-hmm.
Where Turk, his whole job was to like he had a very young patient that passed away and he needed his heart to get a transplant. And he had to talk to his parents.
And
it was like,
yeah.
I was like, oh my God, how's he going to do this? And then he like literally was like, I just have to tell the truth. This is what it needs to be done. And then the dad talks to him and then he shows him his driver's license, turns it around and it says organ donor.
And I was like, and you've always had the heart all along.
He had the heart all along. And I was like,
some grown men in this and
again, think, I mean, that was the beauty of it. Like that whole episode became, you know, Wizard of Oz. What was Carla's issue? She needed courage.
Yeah.
You know, Elliot was desperate, was trying to figure out.
She's trying to remember how to remember things.
Yeah. And it turned out she had the brains
she
all along.
She had the brains all along. And I was like, it's literally like, hey man, you like stuff? This is the episode you're going to like. Why? Because Wizard of Oz is one of your favorite movies of all time. And here it is in Scrubs form. And it's like
in the 25 minute interval.
And I like, the funny thing is, I didn't realize it the first time I was watching it. Like, I was like, oh, why is his shoes red? I'm like, and he's following this yellow line that, like, they painted on accident or whatever. And then, like, when they do the pan out and, like, all four of them are in different areas, and I was like, oh, it's the Wizard of Oz. And I was like, sometimes my brain is, yeah, I don't like it.
It's not so good.
Well, no, just even, like, there's one part where Carla loses his Dr. Cox's son, and Dr. Oh, yeah. Cox is like cleaning up his son, and as Carla goes in there, you know, Dr. Cox says something like ignore the man in the curtain or something like that. Like, damn it, this is so good. But going back to another episode, the episode I talked about where JD loses, or Dr. Cox loses three episodes. I don't know if you remember, but there was another episode before that kind of like fit, that kind of like connected with the two. It was one was JD realized, JD like hears this, like this girl was telling him that he needed help, and JD kind of not really ignored it, but didn't realize what was going on. And so JD felt like, oh man, you know, I killed somebody, you know, that was my fault. And Dr. Yeah. Cox basically says, you know, you have to realize that, you know, you can't let that weigh on your shoulder, because the moment you let somebody's death go on your shoulder, then that's when
that was the same episode.
Yeah, no, yeah. That was the episode beforehand.
Oh yeah,
and then that's when the connection. I mean, and that's when, and that's not story, not episode, but that's the storyline before that. And that's what makes it so powerful is that JD uses the same exact line to the Dr. Cox.
Exactly.
And Dr. Cox is like, nope, I'm out of here.
Remember who the girl is, right?
Cheryl Terry.
I can't remember her real name.
Yeah,
but Nicole Sullivan.
Okay.
But her character in the show was Jill, and Jill was always faking, what do you call it? Faking diagnoses.
Oh, okay.
So she can get called in, so she can, like the first time that Elliot meets her, she's like, oh, why do people not like you? And then she's like, oh, yeah, you know, I don't have any friends. I have friends, but then, you know, they're too busy. And then, like, at the end of the episode, they realize, oh, she has no friends and nobody wants to hang out with her. And the only friend she ever made or she's making is with Elliot, and she's at the hospital. And then so, like, the running joke was always, like, there was her and then there was that other guy, Michael McDonald. They would always come in as, like, recurring, ironically, two Mad TV guys. But she would come in and she would, like, always, you know, fake the diagnosis or lie about her life. And be so, like, in that episode, I always remember she's like, yeah, I'm fine now. I have I'm dating somebody. Things are going better. And then JD's literally like just ignoring her because he doesn't like, you know, he's just annoyed with her existence up until then. And then you have that coming in, and then like she's like, and then the diagnosis that I'll never forget is like the one they never check for is like rabies. He's like, I remember Dr. Cox saying it would be irresponsible of you to have checked for rabies, because that's like a diagnosis that's never gonna happen. And then, because they think that she committed suicide, and then they're like, oh, it's rabies. And then, like Dennis said, all the organs fail. Then they play that song that ruins me every freaking time, How to Save a Life by The Fray. So, yeah.
That's for a pop montage. Song, that's like, it's rough.
The last thing is, we just kind of talked about the My Musical one, but it's surprising just how many good songs.
Oh, geez.
You know, all through the whole show.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. One of the ones that sticks out to me more. You had mentioned JD's brother as a recurring character. One of the funniest gags was that whenever brother would have a girl over, they would play Dido. So every time I hear that song now, tears go cold. I'm like, no. Sorry, but it's like such a great like gag with the song and everything, and it sounds totally legit. It's like, yeah, dude, if I could totally see a bro, a dude bro, like, yeah, I got Dido, and play this for you, girl.
Do you remember the one song? I'm trying to do things off the top of my head, but it's the song from Colin Hay from Men at Work.
I Can Get to Sleep.
Yeah, but what's the name of the song?
Day after day, it disappears. Night after night, it disappears.
But that scene is so good. Because the scene is like JD trying to go to work, and like everywhere he shows up, Colin Hay is there playing the song. Damn it, it's going to piss me off.
Even when he was in the...
In the morgue.
The morgue.
He opens the door at the morgue, and he's like still playing the song. Dang it, hold on, I'm gonna look it
but, up. But best song, and I know for most likely because Lewis didn't reach it, but best song is Ted saying "Heya."
Oh, that is good.
What? The Outcast song?
The Outcast song. Overkill. Overkill, that's the name of the song.
There you go, sorry.
Oh, yeah, Colin, that was the only reason why I knew Colin Hay, like, because he just kept on showing up.
Yeah, I come from Atlanta. Him and Jimmy Walker was like, what are these guys doing?
Wait, go back to Ted singing "Hey Ya."
Yeah, you have to watch. Okay, I gotta find it. But it's great.
With what's her name? No, that's him by himself.
Yeah, he sings with his tan.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. Okay. Like
no, it's a great episode.
Seriously, like I'm such a dork, but I downloaded all of their a cappella versions of songs to put on my a cappella playlist.
Nice, dude.
Just because it's like it's. The one, a new one, the Charles in Charge one. They do a Charles in Charge a cappella.
Oh, okay.
And it's like.
Sounds good.
On brand, because it's TV stuff.
Yeah.
But every time they would show up, I'd be like, yeah, here we go. And then when they do their introduction and they'd introduce all of their companies or their departments, then it's like the second time where JD's like, weren't you working in? He's like, yeah, they moved me over to a new department.
Okay, I think unless you guys can think of any other things that we want to talk about, I think we're going to end with that. You know, Scrubs, definitely an influential series. Maybe not the most popular, maybe not the most beloved, but definitely a lot of fans out there that to this day. Comedy Central hasn't really been showing it as much.
It doesn't. It hardly ever shows.
Yeah. That's too bad.
I remember it. At a certain point, like at 7 o'clock in the morning, they would show it.
Yeah,
and so
7 to 9 o'clock. Yeah, that's why I would be late for work.
And so, like, I would just record it. That's what I did.
No, you know, I'm not gonna lie. What's still on my DVR from a syndication though is the finale. Okay, so let's talk about the finale.
Yeah, go ahead, please. Yeah,
because we didn't really discuss this in length. Like, I super agree with Dennis. One of the best series finales ever. I actually got busted for pirating it. That was one of the ones where they caught me and they said, hey, I see that you're downloading the series finale of Scrubs. Maybe not do that next time.
Sir. ABC.
Yeah, but totally worth it.
Yeah,
totally
definitely, worth it. Definitely.
And, the ending where JD's walking down. Have you ever seen
No, this? Go ahead, please. Yeah. But spoil away.
It's not really much of a spoiler. I'm not going to say what it is, but
like he leaves basically. He leaves
the office. Oh, okay.
So he gets a new job.
Okay.
He follows Elliot, so they both will no longer work at Sacred Heart, and it's in Washington. Oh no, that Kim was in Washington. Kim. But they move away, and it's literally like him saying, "Okay, this is my last goodbye." But it's him just walking down a hallway. In reality, he's literally just walking out of the hallway. But through his vision, it's him walking, and everybody who's ever been part of the show shows up on the sides. Some people you don't remember, some people you kind of do. And then they do flash forwards of what their lives are supposed to be like.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
It's fantastic. And then at the very end, you just see that it's literally just him by himself.
It's one of his imaginations.
Oh, yeah. It's one active, of his big things. And then when he exits, there was like a sign that says like, you know, congratulations or we'll miss you. And it's just some guy throwing it away.
Oh.
And he's just like, okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wow.
And it's like, and the episode starts with them saying your name.
Whose name?
Your name.
Why?
The Red Hot Chili Peppers did that song.
Oh, okay.
You know what song I'm talking about?
No.
What's your last name?
Oh.
Hey. Hey. It's like, hey.
I'm glad I was out of high school when that song came out.
You're still in college.
That's true.
One of the most heartbreaking things, parts of the episode is JD wants that goodbye, like, and that was the premise of the whole thing. It's, this is my last day. I want everything to be perfect, you know. And he goes to every single person, you know, what's the last thing that you're gonna say to me? And of course, the one person that he wants to talk to is Dr. Cox, and Dr. Cox goes, oh, you're leaving? Okay, cool. See you later.
Ouch.
And then JD's like, you'd think of all the people that I would impact by saying goodbye, he'd be the one of them. And he's like, and I meet, like, for the past whatever years, and it means nothing to him. And then when he comes back to him.
And so at a certain point,
Dr. Cox and one of the newer nurse, one of the newer doctors,
new interns, yeah,
a new intern, yeah, and the intern kind of turns to Dr. Cox and goes, you know, thank God that you know Dr. Dorian's gone. He's been really irritating, and Dr. Cox basically says, you know what, he's the greatest doctor I've ever seen and everything. And of course,
oh God,
of course, JD is there waiting.
He's like right behind him when he makes that thing. He has his arms open.
And he gets the hug that he's always been looking for the last 7 years.
I still like
it. Totally worth it.
That's the funny thing is like when he, like right off the bat of the episode, him and Turk do the eagle. And then he's just like, I think we did that eagle too early. And then I was like, oh man, that's meta.
Oh, okay. I have to rewatch.
So Scrubs, if you guys don't know, streaming on Hulu.
Is it streaming on Hulu?
What do you think I've been doing for the past 3 days?
That's how I watch mine too. It's on Hulu right now.
Okay. So yeah, if you've never watched, if you've never given an opportunity for Scrubs, or if you're like Lewis, who you're a casual fan, the last couple seasons, it gets better.
Okay. It's actually pretty solid. Yeah.
No. It gets better.
Okay.
Like they improve everybody's characterization. They find their voice and they find their, you know, at a certain point, oh, Harold's face just...
I just remembered one of my favorite episodes.
What?
Turk and Carla's wedding.
Oh, you mean Lewis and... I mean...
and his wife's...
his wife's wedding?
Yeah. Just when they have, like, you know, everything goes wrong and everything.
Oh, God.
Have you never painful. Seen
that? No, I don't think I've seen that
oh
one
Oh, my
yet.
God. But I find it's that great. One. It's great because everything goes wrong. They actually don't end up getting married. And then Dr. Cox and Jordan come in late. They're like, oh, congratulations on the wedding. Like, they cut us, how dare you? And then they're like, yeah, we need to pump this up. And then so Ted's band is like, we haven't played instruments in a while, but we'll play. And they play 8 Days a Week by the Beatles.
Oh, nice, dude.
And it's like...
And the only time they sang something that was not TV shows.
Yeah, and then the only time they were in a cappella. And yeah. So, I mean... What a great episode.
Yeah, I got it. Sounds like there's I got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, so Scrubs definitely is something that you want to watch. Speaking of something that you really want to watch, maybe you want to listen to us a little bit more. And if you do want to listen to us more, you can listen to all our episodes, wonderful episodes, on the Two Fanboys One Casual .podbean.com. That's where all of our old episodes are. Please comment, please like, please subscribe, so that we can, you know, feel validated for the time that we do this.
Yeah, on Facebook we are Two Fanboys and A Filthy Casual. Feel free to find us there, like us, add our page to your daily feed. Every time the podcast goes live, we'll be letting you know there any fun news, memes, jokes and all that other internet stuff comes around. We'll be posting it there as well,
right through your ear hole.
Yes. Yeah. And then remember, on both Instagram and Twitter, Two Fanboys One Casual. And don't forget that you can find us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and I think iHeartRadio coming soon.
Coming
nice,
soon,
dude. Yeah. Nice.
So all the venues that you find,
you have no excuses.
Well, they're still going to make excuses. But any place that you listen to your favorite podcasts or radio shows, that you can find us there as well.
And good of job, course, Mitch. This episode is brought to you by our favorite detergent. You know which one it is?
Calgon?
Mr. Spockler! Mr. Spockler!
Mr. Spockler!
Sorry, I just saw Lewis's shirt.
He saw the android in his pants.
That is it for us today. Hope you enjoyed this episode. As usual, this is Two Fanboys and the Filthy Casual. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
I can get to sleep. I can't see that.
No, you're not sweating.